Lecture 42, Renaissance Portraits.
Welcome back to our series of lectures on the foundations of Western civilization. This time, lecture number 42, we're going to move along chronologically through the Renaissance, taking up those three periods that we mentioned at the very end of the previous lecture, the period of individual genius, the Florentine period, and the courtly period, and look at some of the major figures who made this Renaissance phenomenon. So we'll try now to turn what was last time a fairly abstract discussion, then this time into a more human one. Let's begin with Giovanni Boccaccio. He was a Florentine, born in 1313, died in 1375. He was a merchant's son. He spent his formative years in Naples, actually, where he enjoyed the patronage of the Angevin, that is to say, the French court, in the south of Italy. His father wanted him to be a lawyer, but he resisted his father's desires, and he eventually sort of studied the liberal arts and then settled in Florence in 1340. Now, Boccaccio made his reputation in Italian. This is a bit like Dante, huh? By writing a book called The Decameron. Now, this was set in the plague year, 1348-49, in the city of Florence. And what he has is a group of young men and women who gather up in the Church of Santa Maria Novella. If you've ever ridden the train into Florence when you come out of the train station, that's the church, the back of which you see. Anyway, these young men and women gathered up in that church and decided that they would flee into the countryside to get away from the noxious airs of the city. And then to while away the time to keep themselves out of trouble, they would tell themselves stories. So over 10 days, they told 10 stories each day. So there's 100 stories in the Decameron. Decahemeron in Greek is 10 days. So the title of the work means 10 days in Greek. So it's 100 tales. Now, there's an irony here. We have these young men and women who have gone out into the countryside to escape the plague, and they're going to tell each other stories to keep themselves out of trouble, and they wind up telling a large number of the bawdiest stories in the Western literary tradition. One suspects that these stories were as likely to get them in trouble as keep them out of trouble. But the point is that the Decameron became an immensely popular work. It circulated very widely, and it shows this great openness of spirit to which I alluded in the previous lecture. Remember, then I had suggested one could compare a bit of Boccaccio with a bit of Chaucer and feel the difference between North and South. But Boccaccio didn't stop only with his popular writing, the Decameron, his Italian writing. He wrote a book on the genealogy of the Gentile gods. Now, this was a very learned treatise, written in Latin as a handbook to classical mythology designed to facilitate the reading of classical texts. I mean, all those gods and goddesses are the despair of any non-expert who tries to read classical literature. Who are all these people? Well, going back indeed to Boccaccio's time, there was a felt need to create a kind of a handbook so that as you went along, you could look up who are all these people that populate these texts. So there we see this interest in classical literature, and we see again writing a scholarly type of work in Latin, as opposed to his popular work, the Decameron, written in Italian. Boccaccio was a great friend of Petrarch. He wrote a life of Dante, and indeed, near the end of his life, in Florence, he delivered public lectures on the Commedia. Dante, of course, had wound up dying in exile. He'd gotten thrown out of Florence in political disturbances. Dante died in Ravenna and was buried there. And so, in a very interesting way, it was Boccaccio who brought Dante home. Not Dante's physical remains, but Dante's Commedia. He was, in a way, the first professor of Dante studies. Now, a second figure who will help to reveal what I was calling in the last lecture this period of sort of individual genius at the very beginning, at the dawning of this Renaissance movement, is Francesco Petrarco. He Latinized his name, and we know him as Petrarch. He was born in 1304, died in 1374. He's clearly the giant of the early Renaissance. Now, he was born in Arezzo, a town just outside Florence, but He was born there because his father had been thrown out of Florence in the same political squabbles, actually, that had gotten Dante in trouble. And so the family was in exile. His father then moved to the south of France and got a job with the papal court. Remember how the popes were at Avignon from 1305 to 1378? Well, Petrarch's father, after having been thrown out of Florence, went to the south of France and got a job there. And so Petrarch's early life was spent in the south of France.